Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
All right, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Malvro. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 2572 City Place Court. They have 136 draft beers. If you went there, they had a 50-foot TV. They have the greatest menu. LSU is headed towards the number one seed in the NIT basketball tournament. The Pelicans are up 10 on Atlanta, who's won 19 straight. You have basketball. You might have a ton of stuff to watch. You have LSU baseball game. LSU baseball, every game is going to be on TV this year. The Pelican House, 2572, City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
You didn't mention Tulane baseball.
I didn't, but you know, maybe they'll be decent this year. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they should support us. All right, Kevin, in the mortal words of some guy on the internet, what the fuck was with Pete Carroll at the end of that game?
Truther.
This is your post-game reminder that Pete Carroll is a 9/11 truther.
Shame on you, SNL, for not mentioning that in your crappy Super Bowl skit. So, Kevin.
Yeah.
How much did you enjoy Seattle just losing because they didn't go beast mode?
I enjoyed them losing... period. Like, they could have lost by 80, and I think I might have enjoyed it just the same. I mean...
No, it was better this way. More pain.
They're never getting over this. They're never getting over this.
Yeah, hopefully this kind of a loss just leads to complete and utter chaos for them. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll fire the offensive coordinator, because they already lost, they already gave up on the DC... sending him to Atlanta, thank you. And it was good. I mean, it feels weird being happy that the Patriots won. It's just, I'm ecstatic that Pete Carroll lost.
Yeah, I think the thing is that made me happy is if the Seahawks would have won, Dave, Pete Carroll would have been a lock, first ballot Hall of Famer or whatever for a coach, and in the pantheon of all-time great coaches, and now he can't be. And that makes me happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm certainly happy that the Seahawks lost, although it would have been great if somehow the Patriots could have also lost somehow. I don't know how that could have happened, but but I think I may be the only person on the face of the planet other than Pete Carroll himself that maybe really isn't that upset with the play call and didn't think it was that terrible. And
it wasn't egregious. It's like my mom said after the game. She said, in the NFL, when a game comes down to one play and it doesn't work out for you on offense, you've made the wrong call.
That's how it goes. You know, I mean, if that pass had just gone incomplete, they would have had another down. You know, they might have gotten it then. And obviously, it's easy for all of us to, you know, to poo-poo the play call now that we know what's happened. But I mean, here's my argument for it is that, you know, Ralph, I'm sure you thought that Marshawn Lynch was going to get the ball. Andrew, I'm sure you thought they were going to hand off to Marshawn Lynch. Kevin, I'm sure you thought they were going to hand off to Marshawn Lynch. I'm sure all of your wives thought they were going to hand off to Marshawn Lynch. I'm sure my grandmother, who's 87 years old.
Way to rub it in, Dave.
I'm sure she thought that they were going to hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. All of which means that it was the most obvious play in the world. So don't you think that the Patriots were expecting that too? I think handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch would have been the most predictable, potentially stupidest not stupidest, because you hand it off, you don't fumble, you get the ball back, and you can run another
play. Well, just because you know it's coming doesn't mean you can stop it.
No, but it sure as hell makes it a lot easier. I was okay with a pass call. I think the execution wasn't great, and maybe the pass that they did call wasn't necessarily the best idea. But I think,
and the guy made an insane play.
That's what I want to talk about too.
He didn't get fooled by the pick. The guy crossed over, and what's his name? Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Butler. He made a great play. He followed his receiver. He came across. And as soon as he saw that ball was heading in his direction, he went right for it. And I still don't even know he came up with the ball. I mean, I thought maybe he was going to hit the receiver right as he was making the catch, knock it loose or jar it loose. But I didn't think he was going to be able to pick that off.
Yeah.
I mean, he made an insane play.
Well, that's what
those kind of things. And as Saints fans, how many times have we been in this situation where we've seen the Saints have second and one or third and one on the goal line and they pass to Jimmy Graham or they do some other pass?
Saints don't have Marshawn Lynch.
No, they don't have Marshawn Lynch. But if you have any running back in the NFL, should be able to fucking make a goddamn second and one. This is the football. This is the NFL. The point is you're planning on exerting your will and your power onto the opponent. So the Saints never do that. The Saints never run on second and one on the goal line or third and one on the goal line. They pass it to fucking Colston. They do a fade to Colston or a fade to Jimmy Graham or something like that in the back of the end zone. The NFL is all about being unpredictable. Handing off to Marshawn Lynch would have been the fucking most predictable thing you could have done there. And I'm willing to bet that had they handed off to Marshawn Lynch, I wouldn't have been surprised if he got fucking stuffed behind the line or at the goal line. Because I'm sure that's what the Patriots were expecting. The Patriots are no slouch. This isn't Seahawks versus the Jaguars. This is the Seahawks versus the Patriots, a team that deserved to be there.
And
I think it's fucking ridiculous how all of these people are questioning this call and saying it's the stupidest play call in the history of football. It is by far.
It was stupid because it didn't work. Don't you know that, Dave? When it doesn't work, it's dumb.
You know what? There were probably 20 other plays of the 60 plays that they ran that didn't work either.
Andrew.
God, America, you're so fucking stupid.
We'll get to America in a minute. Andrew, the one thing about the play that Dave mentioned that me and you were talking about before the podcast started, I really like the fact – I don't know if Butler did it on purpose or it was just instinct, but he basically like ran over the Seattle receiver and was like, you're not catching the ball. I don't care. I don't care whatever. You can make it rain flags up in here. I'm just going to go through you to get to the ball. And it was a fantastic play, but I feel like – That's a really smart football play, knowing that he cannot catch the ball. I don't care if I have to tackle him, assault him, whatever. And I feel like that is a missed point that people aren't talking about.
No, I agree. It was great situational awareness. And look, it's a Super Bowl. The trophy's on the line. And, you know, it's one of those things where you've got to have this mentality. I don't care what it takes. I don't care if I have to tackle you before the ball gets there. You're not scoring. And frankly, that's – perhaps an attitude that the corner right before halftime should have had when he gave up that touchdown pass with pretty soft coverage. I kind of agree with Dave on a lot of fronts about this. One stat that I was clued into today, which surprised me, was that Marshawn Lynch had five carries this year from the 1 yard line and only scored on one of them.
Oh, shocker.
And so his percentage of scores from 1 yard out, it was like on a minimum of four carries, it was like worst in the league or one of the worst in the league. So
you know why? Probably because all the defenses that they played in those situations
knew it was coming.
You're right. And so I think, and I'm sure that weighed on the Seahawks when they decided to make that play call. Obviously you do self-scouting, and they were probably thinking, we've gotten stuffed a lot this year from the one.
And if they throw it on second down and miss and it's incomplete, you can still run it on third and call timeout. If you
they only had one timeout left, so they had to be judicious with when they ran.
Yeah, if you run it there, then you're stuck on third and fourth down of having to. New England, they don't necessarily know that you're going to pass. They know that you're either going to pass it or roll Russell Wilson out or something.
Yeah,
but
the one thing I said to you, Ralph, and I stick by this, is if you are going to throw it, my only hesitation would be don't put yourself in a position where you've got three receiver set and you've got cover corners that are on the field you know, show a run front, you know, go bring everybody in the box, bring in a fullback and look like you're just going to pound it in there, run play action, you know, get your third string tight end in the back corner of the end zone and hit him there. And right. I felt like that way, if they were going to throw the ball, that was the best way to do it.
All right, Kevin.
The play call was fine. The execution was terrible. Well, actually, the play call, the pass play could have been a better passing play.
All right, now we need to get to the real important things. Kevin, I was...
Katy Perry's boobs.
We'll get to that. That's important, too. Oh. I was completely disgusted with NBC because Doug Baldwin scored a touchdown, and then, as the internet dubbed it, poop down, he simulated... taking a dump with the football. And NBC, in their Puritan 1785, we know what's best for America, didn't show it, didn't mention it, and he got a 15-yard penalty. Who is NBC to say what is obscene and not obscene? They'll show, you know, explosions on the blacklist. I saw two women get shot after that. I saw Michael Sam kiss his lovely boyfriend on the draft, but I can't see a man simulate a poop in the Super Bowl?
The latter was ESPN, but the point is still valid. Yes, NBC. This is just the latest in a series of bad decisions for NBC.
Put Kevin Heigl on every week.
By the way, Kevin works in television, so he's our television expert.
Yes.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm no longer employed by. The NBC affiliate, so I can be more honest with my disdain for NBC programming. So let's see. The network that brings you Chicago PD, fire, postal service, sanitation, and has found a way to, you know, was stupid enough not to renew Community, the network that was dumb enough to not properly support enough of its own programming while constantly making shitty programming, like the upcoming feature, The Americans 2.0, which is going to suck balls, I'm
sure.
Jesus
Christ!
Also, The Slap.
Oh my God.
Did any of you see that fucking ad for that TV show? Make a TV show about a parent who slaps somebody else's kid across the face at a fucking birthday party. And the controversy that ensues from there.
A whole show?
Jesus.
A whole series?
It's a mini-series.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Juge, did you have a parental crisis and have to explain to your kids what was going on?
I didn't. My son was busy at tackling his friend and pretending to be on the field.
That's adorable.
Yeah, so he was doing that. But
did you get a friend with Joe Buck?
You know, I just think with the commercials, I mean, who gives a shit at this point? You know, I mean, I get that it's part of the entertainment, but in general, I just hate how the Super Bowl is such a circus. You know, it's like 10% football and 90% horseshit, you know, and it's a depressing way to end the season, especially when your team's not in it.
All right, let's get to the commercials.
Speaking of depressing.
Yes.
This is the worst. This was by far, I think, in as far as I can remember. Now, obviously, Andrew and Ralph's memories have a much higher capacity than mine. But as far as I can remember, this was like the most boring, mundane, and obviously also slightly twisted and sad I've seen for a Super Bowl.
This set of commercials made me want to drink bleach out of a martini glass. Kevin, explain to me. Sum up these commercials, if you can.
Nationwide, my kid just died.
that fucking commercial. Kevin, they spent like $10 million to probably make that commercial and run it.
Right.
You had to run that all the way up the chain. And nobody was like, you know what, guys? It's the Super Bowl. And I just don't think people want to be fucking sad and think about kids dying. And they're like, oh, well, we wanted to start a conversation. You know what? If I go to Dave's house for a Super Bowl party and take a dump in his punch bowl, I could say I'm starting a conversation about me taking a shit in Dave's punch bowl.
NBC wouldn't air that, though.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, seriously, I have to hear about kids. I have to hear about kids dying. I have to watch the ghost of a 5-year-old kid, but I can't watch – Doug Baldwin simulated dump? What is that?
But let me just say this as the businessman who has to dabble in marketing, you know, and I feel like I say this every year because every year we, you know, there's always one commercial that people are talking about. And I'd say Nationwide is laughing at all of us. And I'd say that they've succeeded. You know, the whole point of a commercial like that and the whole point of an advertising campaign is to get everybody talking. And nobody is talking about any commercial more than this commercial. And, you know,
they're laughing all the way to the bank.
I mean, Kevin just sang their jingle. You know, so
yeah, but
so they scored. All the money that they spent on it, I'd say, is well spent. And don't tell me that it's bad. There's no such thing as bad publicity. You look at all these, you know, I don't know, Kardashians and
Bruce Jenner transitioning to a woman, by the way.
You know, all this stuff. I mean, just because you just need to be in the press, and that's it. And
I don't know
whether it's good or bad. It doesn't matter. Your bottom line is going to increase.
I don't know, Kevin. Is it good that they're going to be an internet meme for like the next 5 years of anything that goes wrong? It's going to be like, I would have ran the ball, but I'm dead with that kid's picture. Like,
right. I mean, I don't know. It's fine that they're going to be a meme because it was fucking stupid. And yeah, we're talking about it. You know, but the fucking country is also going apeshit about Pete Carroll's decision not to run the ball instead of passing it.
Was
I mean, it's like just because
it was a government inside job.
I think what bothers me is a Nationwide statement where they sort of just double down and say, no, this was to start a conversation. This wasn't about selling insurance. Bullshit, you fuckhead. You paid $4.5 million for an ad for a commercial during the biggest televised event of the year. And it just came out that it was the most watched television event in American history. Yeah. So you paid $4.5 million for that.
Right. That's not true.
Yeah. There have been a couple of years where it didn't surpass the previous year, but whatever. The point is, right. But the point is it didn't like, you spent $4.5 million on the most watched event of the year, and your whole thing is, oh no, this wasn't about selling insurance, it's about starting a conversation. No, fuck you. This was about selling insurance, and yeah, you know, this was about, you know, rattling the cage, so to speak. But man, it's just fucking stupid.
I mean,
it's just fucking stupid.
I don't think they plan to have to release a statement about a commercial on Super Bowl night. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, maybe, Dave, you're right and they get attention, but I don't know. I feel like it'll be if people in that company today, I feel like some of them are not happy that they're going to be an internet meme and a joke for a while. I don't know.
I think they're okay with it.
I think so too.
The whole, I mean, everything that I've ever read on marketing, I've read books before, you know, everything I've ever read on marketing is that at the end of the day, the ultimate goal for a marketing campaign is you want to be in the consumer's mind, in an individual's mind when they're going to make a decision, a buying decision. You know, 2 days ago, the day before the Super Bowl, if I asked you, they want their name, their company to be right there on the forefront. You know, so when it's time to say, oh, I need to go buy insurance, you know.
Yeah, no, Dave.
Nationwide is the first one.
I think you're correct.
Two days ago, if I asked you to name an insurance company, you probably would have said Allstate because they do a lot of football shit, the college football. Yeah. They have the thing behind the thing. All of us probably would have said Allstate. Now you ask us that question, we're probably going to say Nationwide.
All right,
and that's the point.
Here's the question, Kevin. Dave just convinced me I was wrong.
I'm on fire tonight. I'm getting you guys to admit that wasn't the worst play call and that commercial was genius.
You are correct. You are correct on at least the
should have been a lawyer.
But here's the thing, Kevin. Let's assume that Dave is correct and he has convinced me.
I mean, that's a safe assumption.
If you got to have dead kids talking to get noticed at the Super Bowl this year and it worked. Dave's correct. Everybody's talking about it. How do you raise it up a notch for 2016? How do you raise up the sadness from dead kids?
Dead Budweiser puppy. Oh, and speaking of which, shitty pet ownership, bro. shitty pet ownership. Yeah, I'm gonna own a precocious little puppy and just let him roam the fuck around and not pay attention to him and all that kind of shit. What a load. What a load.
Andrew,
what a load, man.
Were there any good commercials?
No. No, not really. I mean, I didn't see any that I really enjoyed.
I liked, as a Breaking Bad fan, I liked the one with Walter White.
No, that just depressed me. It was like seeing an old friend in a different capacity, and you're just like, what happened to you, man?
I'd like to think Bryan Cranston told them no on like four separate occasions until they were like, what's it gonna take?
$1 million, you're gonna work for one day.
And he's like, I want $2 million and I want a trailer of hookers. And they're like, fine.
That's what Warren Sapp said.
He's the second like big person to get arrested for prostitution. Greg Anthony was the play-by-play guy for the Final Four, and he got arrested and fired.
What I want to know is how does this happen at 7 a.m.? Talk about getting your day started on the
It's from the night over. That's from the next night.
Right.
He just stayed up
right.
all night.
Hey.
Oh, that's impressive.
My God, you're dude, such a dad. We already covered this when Gillette got popped. And I think it was Dave or Andrew, one of you two, immediately seized on the idea about Gillette not giving the lady her money and wanting to be a cheap ass. And like Warren Sapp got popped. Not just for – it wasn't prostitution. It was prostitution and assault.
So I wonder assault. If he got – if I wonder if he got popped. It must – I don't know. The details were kind of sketchy, but it seems to me like if it was just a – like you said, Kevin, if it was just a regular old prostitution sting, you go up to the woman, you're like you're like Eugene Robinson before the Super Bowl where it was an undercover cop and you just proposition her – you know, I'll have give you sex for money, and they say, you're arrested. This seems like it was more complicated than that. Like, you just like Dave said for Junior Gillette, he just didn't want to pay, and it got messy. And when you don't pay a hooker, they probably get violent, I would imagine. And that's what happened, and shit went down. You know? So there were no good commercials. Warren Sapp...
Why can't Warren Sapp just go on Tinder like all the other smart guys I know?
Right. Me and Left Shark, man. Me and Left Shark are on Tinder.
You would think that like celebrities with like millions of dollars, they would have like a high quality like service where like you that's like discretion in it, like, you know.
Yeah, but isn't Warren Sapp like broke or some shit?
He can't be broke. I mean, he's got to be making. I mean, NFL Network, they got to pay him at least, what, $300,000-$400,000 a year? Plus,
yeah, but,
I
mean, no way, not that much.
Yeah. Yeah, but isn't there also, like I could have swore I remember a story a couple of years ago about Warren Sapp being
probably
being broke or like, really being barely
yeah, Ralph,
in the black.
Is that really that hard to believe?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not, unfortunately. So there were
how quickly you forget Jonathan Sullivan.
I know. Good God. I wanted to forget him. All right. So there are no good commercials. My wife said there were not.
I like the cats in the cradle commercial.
My wife liked the zoo draft, and she hated the
toy. Oh, I like that one. The zoo draft, that was funny.
The sloth. He's got off-the-field issues. My wife also
– the polar bear with the Mexican hat is the best. That needs to be your wife's new Twitter avatar.
It should be.
Hoping he gets picked by Mexico.
That might be my Twitter avatar.
I forgot about that one. That one
and
was
she
funny.
Didn't like the Toyota ad with the woman with the plastic legs.
Oh, I thought that was one. Okay.
But, you know, let's get to the halftime show. I liked Katy Perry as Bam Bam Bigelow, or dressed like Will Ferrell from Blades of Glory. I thought as a halftime show.
Or Guy Fieri.
It was all right. You know, like the halftime show, it's never going to be like fantastic. It was 1,000 times better than the fucking Who they got out the old folks home.
Yeah.
So I'll start with you, Kevin. Thoughts on the halftime show?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it wasn't like Lenny Kravitz. I came and went in like 30 seconds. Missy Elliott, I didn't know what the hell was going on with her.
Why do people like Missy Elliott so much?
I don't fucking know. It's because it's a tie to when they were younger, and so all the people in their mid-30s or late-30s or whatever.
I never liked Missy Elliott back then.
Oh, this is my jam, girl. This is my jam.
She looks like a pit crew person for NASCAR.
Right. Yeah, and like Katy Perry, you know, she came out. She wasn't like it was over the top spectacle. That fucking lion, though, that was the shit. I'm not gonna fucking lie. That was that was legit.
I like the thing.
Like when Madonna was doing all that shit a couple of years ago, I'm looking at it going, what a fucking twat. But Katy Perry coming out, you know, on a goddamn lion and then getting on the NBC The More You Know star and flying away.
That was sweet.
That was all fucking great. Her dancing with sharks and like overinflated beach balls and her dancing
like
on a checkerboard.
It's H&R Puffin stuff.
They did look high though too. Their eyelids, they looked like Howley from South Park. I did make a comment about that. I was like, why are those beach balls high?
And you know, it was all right.
Andrew,
it was perfectly inoffensive.
Did your kids enjoy the halftime show, Andrew? Or are they too young to?
Yeah, too young. I don't think he really. I mean, he watched some of the game. He was into the football. But not so much into the halftime show. I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, surprisingly, I mean, Lenny Kravitz is probably just in general with my personal taste what I would be most into. But I thought that was horribly out of place. I just thought he really had no business being up there with Katy Perry and Missy Elliott. Missy Elliott at least made sense. It was a good fit and a good transition, but Lenny Kravitz was just kind of a pointless guy to have up there.
Breaking news, the Pelicans are up 19 on Atlanta.
I'm watching the game right now while you guys are ranting and raving.
If they gag this away, we're just going to have to fire Monty tonight.
Yeah.
we've been saying that for like three weeks.
Pelicans are playing some ball right now.
They're playing, you know, they can get the 8 seed.
Well, hey, maybe we need to say that every week, and maybe the conversation will keep going into June where Ralph will be like, all right, look, if they lose game 3, got to fire Monty.
Monty's he's got the goatee working now.
Well, Ralph, we had talked about the Pelicans. They had to at least stay relevant through football season. In other words, football season had to end. And they still had to be in playoff contention, and now they've officially done that. So that's good for the city.
Yeah, and I would characterize even me and Andrew, who have the league pass and aren't in New Orleans, we're like just slightly above like casual Pelican fans. And the thing is, for us, like we just want the Pelicans to be relevant, and we don't care if they get to the playoffs and get housed by Golden State. Like we just want it to be fun all the way through April. Like, you know, it's important. Yeah. It's important for us, and we don't understand the cap and stretch provisions and all that nonsense. All right, there was actual Saints news today, Dave. Jari Evans is going to have wrist surgery, apparently, or did.
That already happened.
That already happened.
Yes.
So my question to you, Dave, is...
So there was no news today.
It was announced today that he had surgery.
Yeah, it was announced. So
the real news will come tomorrow after the show's been posted.
Exactly. Does this?
Do we want to talk about Benson's car running over the Pelican security guard?
No. What?
You didn't hear about that?
No.
It's a non-issue. It's a non-story. Benson wasn't driving the car. It's a non-issue.
Yeah, but it was like 4 days ago or 5 days ago or whatever.
Who was driving?
His driver.
Ran over some dude's toe.
His driver, by the way, has the last name Romig, which makes me wonder if this is a job that was
don't call Pete Carroll on us now.
As like a gift, you know, to the Romig family. I'm just wondering if they're just trying to keep it all in the family there. But anyway, yeah, he like ran over his foot.
First down!
So the driver ran over a Pelicans, like, security guard or parking attendant or whatever, like he ran over his foot, and they had differing stories about how it happened. But I mean, Andrew's right, it's a non-story, but so is Jari Evans's wrist surgery. So
well, I mean, but Jarre Evans is getting old, Kevin, and he's getting injured more and more. Does this sort of complicate maybe him being back next year?
I don't think so. I mean, I hope not. I mean, the Saints got enough fucking problems as it is on the O-line, so.
Yeah, but he might be one of them.
Thanks, Dave. Always positive.
I mean, that's just, I mean, to
always
your point,
naysaying, Dave. You see, always naysaying.
You sit in your tower.
America wants to hate Pete Carroll today, and you're like, no! No, I must launch a staunch defense of Pete Carroll. You are not fucking Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. You do not need to defend this man. Okay?
I think the fact that Jarre Evans played through.
Did
the
you
whole
see that movie?
No, but I read the book.
You really should, though. Gregory Peck is phenomenal in that movie.
I think the fact that Jarre Evans played the entire season, much of the season, with an injury, one, I think it was fairly apparent. I mean, obviously, I think there was definitely something wrong. But I would say that speaks volumes about what the team feels they have behind Jarre Evans at the guard position. You know, obviously, they said, hey, Jarre, you know, you're in pain. Go out there and play. You're still better than Matt Tennant or whoever the hell they would say.
Matt Tennant.
Or whatever.
Jesus, Dave.
He has less awareness about the bottom of the Saints roster than me. Fuck.
I mean, Matt Tennant is bagging groceries at the Costco and like.
Matt Tennant was a bad pick. They traded
Boston.
They traded up to get him. He was the center of the future.
I meant, what's his face? The guy that plays two positions on the O-line.
Lolito.
Yeah, it's a Lolito.
Well, here's the question, Andrew.
Freaking Matt Tennant.
Andrew, who's more likely to be back, Evans, Grubbs, or neither?
Matt Tennant.
I think
I'm kicking my own ass, guys. Don't worry about it.
I think I'm going to say Jarre Evans, and the reason I think Evans is just because he's earned his keep. He's earned, you know, even after a down year, he's earned the Saints putting faith back in him and him coming back and, you know, rebounding to have a good year. I think Grubbs signing as a free agent, he's only been with the team a few years, is just, I think, less of a – I think there's just less loyalty there. So.
Yeah, welcome to the off-season podcast where we reference people that haven't been on the same roster.
It doesn't even matter. They're all the same.
I really thought we should have started Jamar Nesbitt this year.
Where is Bobby McCray on the defensive line?
He's tweeting stupid shit.
Randall, if they'd have played Randall Gay more, it'd have been better in the secondary. That's all I'm saying. All right, Kevin.
Remember when McCray got arrested for what was he doing? He had like a pizza, and he was like trying to get home before. Well, he had the pizza on his lap, and he burned. I don't. There was something with a pizza, and he wound up getting a traffic violation, and getting arrested.
All right, we got Twitter questions. I thought that was like Nate Burleson. Like he had
his
lap, and he got in a wreck and broke his arm.
No, it was Bobby McCray.
All right. We got questions. Kevin, this is from the Gear Fondler.
Is that really his name?
That's his Twitter handle. So did
Yes, that's his real name, Dave.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, is Ralph mispronouncing it? And it's like
– Oh, right.
And it's like, it's supposed to be French. It's supposed to be like Le Gear Fondler.
It's possible with me. No. People tweet me asking me, please don't mispronounce my name when I ask a question. I'm like, do you not listen to the podcast? Come on, man. I can't.
Well, you've been getting Mondula wrong for about
– Exactly. That's
3 years now.
Exactly. How is that? What right. is –
It's Monadula.
Monadula, whatever. All right, so Kevin, did the
listeners,
NFC
Ralph doesn't care what your fucking name is.
It was a DWI.
Yeah.
It was a D. Yeah. He was busted with a DWI, and he claimed he was DWP driving with pizza.
That's what it was.
He said it was a bogus charge, and then he ended up deleting his Twitter account as a result. I don't know if he got back on Twitter or not.
He did get back on Twitter. Yeah, he called it a DWP.
DWP! So,
he says, my fiance was feeding me pizza driving home.
That's...
Good job getting that info, Kevin. Good job.
Yeah. Wait. And actually, this guy might have been on top of the regulator shit well beforehand, because his final tweet was, and he pulled me for doing 80 and a 60, not to mention I was sober. Lawyers, mount up. We got some work to do.
That is fantastic. Why can't we have players that are on the Saints now that tweet like that?
Clearly, you don't follow Joe Morgan.
No, I don't.
Well, he's not on the Saints team anymore.
No, he's not.
All right. So,
why, what's he tweeting? Like recently, he's been tweeting stuff.
No, but he likes to tweet about his DUIs too.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get back to the Gear Fondler question because I got a better one. This is from John McAlpin. Hoping noise gate thing with the Falcon stretches out so I control them like we did with Bounty Gate. Kevin, what should be the penalty for Atlanta pumping in fake noise?
Oh, clearly loss of 2 draft picks, a $250 or $250,000 franchise fine. The general manager has to be suspended for some period of time. I would say suspend the coach, but, well, you know. Hell, maybe you can suspend the new guy just walking in.
They pull him aside. Yeah. Says you're not allowed to enter the building.
You can't work in the – you can't get
in. I've got an idea for this. Are you guys familiar with the soccer games where they will make you play like
stadium?
If you screw up badly enough, they make you basically play in a stadium with no fans.
What's the team in Turkey? Galextria? Really?
Galatasaray.
Yeah, dude, they play in an empty stadium like 4 times a year.
Wait, are you saying Galatasaray?
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shit. Never mind. That's it. Whatever.
The only issue here with the Falcons is that it's basically a home field advantage for whatever team they're playing when they're playing in the Georgia Dome, because more people in the crowd are fans of the other team. So
yeah,
that might actually be an advantage for the Falcons to play in an empty stadium.
Maybe. Dave, what is the likely penalty? I think it should be like a second-round pick and like $1 million fine, but what's it really going to be?
I don't think it'll be any draft picks. I don't know. I mean, I know Schefter reported that initially, and Lord, I hope he's right on this one, but that seems a bit extreme to –
seems a bit extreme.
I mean, I get that.
Way Roger Goodell would be extreme in his punishment. No way.
It doesn't have to do with player safety or anything like that. So that's why I feel like it's not going to be any – the punishment isn't going to be – equal or harsher than what the Saints got for Bounty Gate. So, you know, I'd say it's probably just going to be a fine, really, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's going to be any other, penalties or anything like that. And to John's question, don't go and troll the Falcons fans. Just leave them alone. It's pointless. I mean, you know, you're just going to annoy. Well, I mean, you're going to annoy them, but obviously that's not what.
Don't listen to Dave.
Yeah. Andrew, did NFC teams have the most improbable wins losses of any NFL players playoff series ever? You had Detroit losing to Dallas on the. We threw the flag, then we picked it up. You had Dallas losing on the Dez Bryant catch, no catch. You had Green Bay shitting the bed completely, up 19-0 and losing. Then you had Seattle losing when they had second and goal from the one in the Super Bowl. That's four pretty screwed up losses.
It's insane, and that just goes to show, again, the margins. And we talked about how the Saints at 7-9. I mean, how many games did they have like that this year? Where literally you flip the script and they were in the playoffs. And that just goes to show that's the NFL, and it comes down a lot of times to that final drive. Can you make plays in the final minute of the game? And that's the difference between a win and a loss.
If the Saints had lost a Super Bowl like the Seahawks did, would you ever recover? I'll start and say, fuck, I don't know, because I'm still not over San Francisco. I guess it would be not that hard if they had won the year before, at least Seattle, make solace in that. But fuck, man, if the Saints had lost like that to the Colts, I mean, I don't – it's like Macho Grande, man. You don't get over that.
I feel like the Packers is worse. I feel like there's a historical component of at least you made the Super Bowl. You know, it kind of goes into the logs of history. Even if you lose and you lose in painful fashion. Now, if the Saints had lost like that to the Colts and had never won a Super Bowl, then it would be extremely painful. But if you were to ask me, would I prefer the Seahawks season this year or the Saints? I would pick the Seahawks season ending like it did. Now, if you ask me, would I prefer the Packers season or the Saints? I would pick the Saints because I'd much rather be 7-9 than miss out on a Super Bowl blowing it like that.
Kevin, your thoughts?
Yeah, listen. I've stated this multiple times on previous podcasts, and I will state this on
future
podcasts.
Wait, is this the 700 podcast?
Is this 200? I think it might be 200. God, we're lame.
You didn't make a – oh, my God. You're terrible.
I am.
Yeah, you were going to – I thought we were going to have like $20,000 pyramid.
Fucking idiots.
I forgot, man.
Jesus.
That's okay. Anywho, so I'm going to go to my fucking grave.
We are. This episode 200.
You're an idiot.
I am. Well, you could have reminded me. You could have reminded me.
I did last week.
You did. You didn't remind me.
We now break this podcast.
All right.
Yeah,
anyway,
so,
Kevin,
so,
you were saying.
Anyways, look, I'm going to go to my fucking grave saying that the Saints, that 2011, that was the Saints' year to win the Super Bowl again. And had they beaten the fucking 49ers, they'd have won the Super Bowl. They'd won the Super Bowl. Nobody's going to fucking convince me otherwise of that. Nobody.
Yep.
Nobody. Agreed. I fucking die. And I go up and the Almighty's standing there going, Kevin, you know, we got to go over this this record of yours. I mean, you really hooked up with way too many chicks on Tinder. And I'm going to be like, listen, we got time for that. Here's what I need to fucking know. Why did Greg Williams not throw another guy in coverage on the fucking tight end in the goddamn game? Why not? The fuck, man? And he's going to be like, yeah, but listen, enough of that. No, you need to answer my questions. No,
see, I'm going to be like that, but I'm going to be like, dude, why only one good arm?
Great win by the Pelicans, by the way.
Great win.
Yeah, so
it's over?
Joan. You're not over it. You can't get over it. 2011.
No, the Pelicans game is over. They won.
Yes, they beat the Hawks. Snapped their 19-game winning streak.
I'll be damned.
Dave.
New Orleans owning Atlanta. Where have we heard this before?
Dave, would you be over to get over a loss like that for the Saints?
Oh, I think like Andrew said, had the Saints. I mean, obviously it was 5 years ago, but you know, I feel like we're good for a while. We got our one. You know, most teams don't have that opportunity. But no, on a play like that, no. And I probably wouldn't feel the way I feel about the play call either. I'd probably be like, I can't believe he fucking called that play. Unfucking believable. I'm gonna fucking kill him. I can't believe he did that. I also agree with Andrew. I would rather lose in the Super Bowl than lose in the NFC Championship game. I mean, at least you've made it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody remembers the Buffalo Bills of the 90s. They didn't win shit.
That is true. Matt asks, how many decades until the Saints will be able to beat Dan Quinn's Falcons? Let me tell you something about Dan Quinn, all right? Seattle.
Is he a truther?
Is he? He probably is. Seattle's defense is loaded.
No, he's going to be an anti-vaxxer, I guarantee you.
Seattle's defense is loaded with good players. Nobody is like, oh, that Dan Quinn, he's such a genius. He hired Kyle Shanahan to run his offense. When's the last time Kyle Shanahan's offense ever won a goddamn thing? All right. You got Raheem Morris as like your co-assistant defensive coordinator. He was a big winner in Tampa. Yeah, I'm scared of Dan Quinn. Yeah. He's not as good.
So you're feeling pretty good about this, right?
I'm feeling really good about that. I feel like the Pete Carroll coaching tree will be dead and rotting within 2 years.
I don't know. I feel like he's at least got enough pedigree, you know, enough notches under his belt in terms of a defensive performance that he will be able to make that defense at least slightly better. They can't be any worse.
Dave, will the Super Bowl be remembered as an all-time great Super Bowl finish or all-time choke job by the Hawks?
That's the problem, and I feel bad for like Malcolm Butler or whatever his name is. I still don't even know his name.
He's going to Disney World. He got $80,000.
That was very Ralph of you there, Dave.
You know, he made a great play. He made a really great play, a play that he's going to remember for the rest of his life, a play that he deserves to be remembered for, a play that he practiced since he was 8 years old, probably playing Pop Warner, and then in high school and in college, just hoping for a moment like this, and did exactly what he was supposed to do and capitalize on it. But all everybody's talking about is how fucking stupid Pete Carroll is. to answer the original question, yeah, it's going to be absolutely remembered as a Seattle choke job.
Why do we have feedback? We have two Daves now.
He's
going to be a choke job, and Butler's going to be mad.
I don't think he's going to be mad, but I think he's getting the short end of the stick, unfortunately. Any other sort of situation – I mean, if he had made an interception, you know, at the 30-yard line when it wasn't second and one and it wasn't an obvious running situation, if he had made the interception then, I think the whole thing changes and people remember him more so, and they remember what a great finish and what a great ending, just like the whole Tracy Porter interception. But the Super Bowl, I mean, last year was really the aberration when the Seahawks beat the shit out of the Broncos, because the Super Bowl has been dramatic to the end for many years recently. I mean, they've really I'm not one of those conspiracy people who think everything's rigged, but God, it really makes you wonder every goddamn time. It's a crazy exciting ending that people want to talk about, so.
On this 200th episode that we have celebrated from the beginning of the podcast,
for those of you just tuning in.
Now that football season's over, Andrew, and you have to get reacquainted with your family, what are you going to be doing on Sundays?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to start playing ball with my son or something.
Suckers.
What things do you have to do in the off season now that your wife's like, oh, you're going to do this?
Nothing specific. I think, my son's starting to get into sports a lot. So this is my opportunity to, you know, get him out on the tennis court, basketball court. He likes soccer. So we'll probably go do all that stuff. I'll try not to tear him up.
Not tennis?
Kevin, yeah, no, he plays some tennis too.
Kevin, do you just double up on the Tinder?
I'm just
double
basically
down.
I mean, I kind of just like, that's kind of what I do now. It's like I just swipe right, no hope something bites, and there we go.
What's your swipe right to talking to women ratio? Like, for every swipes that you do to the right, how many like women actually talk to you? Is it like 1 in 5? Is it like 1 in 10?
I tend to be like, I don't know, maybe like 2 out of 10. I mean, you kind of have to cast like a wide net on something like that.
Does that mean you're lowering your?
You do.
Yeah. Okay.
So like how? So you bat like 200 on Tinder is what you're saying to start.
No. Like on the swiping. Like, yeah. We already had that, already had that conversation from you're before where it's like. And actually, my batting average on Tinder has dropped. But that's okay.
Is it time for like a 450-pound woman to break out of the slump?
No.
Time for a slump buster?
No. I'm good. I'm in a good place right now.
Dave, what do you do during when there's no football to watch?
Well, this spring and this summer, my daughter is on the way and. Probably early March or late February. So
that's
I think,
right. Congrats.
Good family planning.
So I Drewina. Think so I think that's going to take up a lot of my time.
Just you wait, Dave. You think one's hard. Just
I know. Yeah. You just, hey, that's the first time I've heard that. I didn't know that, Andrew. Thanks for telling me. But my other goal is, I mean, we've recently moved into a house that we actually bought 2 years ago, and it's got a nice backyard and the whole front yard and side yard, and I'm working on it now. And so my hope is to get the whole thing landscaped, and, you know, and I enjoy doing that. You know, I have some friends who live in apartment buildings and like, I don't want to own a home. I don't want to deal with all that bullshit. I actually enjoy doing a little yard work and getting my hands dirty and all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping to have a beautiful green lawn and a nice little well landscaped and manicured side yard and front yard.
Did you say landscape or manscape?
I said landscape, but I could easily have said manscape.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, America, they had 18,000 people sign a Facebook telling NBC to apologize for their NASCAR commercial with the guy from Parks and Rec because he made fun of gluten.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck that.
Jesus, America. My wife just said, I got a bunch of weak bastards. I got food sensitivities.
Your wife said that?
Yeah, she in like a mocking voice.
Oh, so she doesn't actually have food sensitivities.
No, she does not. I'm going to be going to Astros baseball because the Astros are going to, for the first time in a decade, not be an abomination.
Says who? It's a little early to be asserting things like that.
Well, they won 70 games last year. They got the they got the number 3 farm system. Maybe not.
You can check out an Astros game at the Astrodome with Matt Tennant.
You can go to Astros game for $4, man.
Actually, you know what? Speaking of baseball, all these shitheads on Twitter last night that are like tweeting out pictures, like silhouetted pictures of like a pitcher up against a backdrop of a sunset. Pitchers and catchers report in 19 days. Fuck off.
Here's my favorite baseball joke.
Fuck off.
Even
when there's 5 seconds left in the fucking Super Bowl and it's a goddamn blowout, it could be a reenactment of last year and there's 5 seconds left. Guess what? That's still more interesting than most of baseball season. Okay.
My favorite baseball joke ever was from Beano Cook, who said when they released the Iran hostages, the commissioner of baseball gave every one of the hostages a lifetime pass to any baseball game they wanted to go to. And Beano Cook said, hadn't they suffered enough?
That is a solid form of torture.
It is. We're excited to have the Astros back in our lives. They hadn't been on TV in 2 years. So I'll be excited when my wife gets fired up for an Astros game like it's the 7th game of the World Series, but it's a regular season game in June.
June, you know she's going to be fucking ape shit in fucking May.
Yeah, that's one of like on my bucket list of things. I want to experience a real Astros pennant race with her because she goes banana towns for like a regular season game. What is she going to be like if the Astros are playing in a playoff game and their bullpen starts to melt down? She just might fucking. She said it'll be like being on fertility drugs. Same thing. Maybe we could have you, man. If she gets pregnant, and she's pregnant, and the Astros have a pennant race.
You don't want that. You don't want that.
I don't want that, Ralph.
You want none of that.
I want that, Dave, because I'm in the hole for like $50,000 on fertility. I do.
All right, play the sappy Super Bowl commercial card. Why don't you?
I'm pretty close. I think I need to start one of those GoFundMes, and I'll promise people if they donate for our fertility, like
already spoken for. We're sending me to the Greenbrier. Yeah. Already spoken for.
You can go to the Greenbrier and you can do research to see if Tom Benson is still
lucid,
lucid with it. You can give us daily. We'll do daily podcast. You can be like,
I'm curious if Benson's going to come back if with his inability to breathe in that mountainous air.
actually, I thought it was very nice. I thought it was very nice of Fiat to put Tom Benson and his wife in that commercial last night.
Oh, Lord.
Anybody?
Is this thing on?
That's okay to show a car getting a boner. We can't show a guy faking it, simulating a poop on the TV, you know?
With a football.
Yeah.
It looks like poop already.
Yeah. But
how many oblong poops have you taken, Dave?
Oh, my they've been nice and solid lately.
Yeah, because you're not nice you're not drinking Mountain Dew and Sour Patch Kids by the pound.
Have a nice little salad.
You no longer have an intravenous drip of high fructose corn syrup.
All right, whoever's with the dish, somebody that sounds like they're like working a chow line or something in the background, which is a first for us. As we continue,
guess who that is?
When we continue, to be the most professional podcast that is Saints fan related. Because I've listened to the other ones and I've been on the other ones. We won't name names, but I
don't go there.
But I will say we are the most professional.
200 strong.
200 episodes strong now. We'll see you at 400. So
it's a true commitment, if nothing else.
So go to Saints Nation. Andrew, I haven't checked in a couple days. What are you counting down this week?
I just finished my top 10 of worst Saints plays of 2014, so that's done. Yeah. Number one was good old Kaepernick throwing the 51-yarder to Crabtree.
That's it.
That was number one. But yeah. I still hate Kenny Vaccaro and Corey White for blowing that one. We are now getting into some real off-season stuff. So this week,
top five plays of Matt Tennant this past season.
We're going to look at Jamar Nesbitt career highlights, and we're going to be tackling free agency hard.
Yeah, Dave, what is Canal Chicago?
Since we're coming up on the five-year anniversary of the Saints winning the Super Bowl, we're going to be talking about their big Super Bowl win. We'll have some anniversary coverage this Sunday, the day after the five-year anniversary, Sunday, February 8th at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have an open game thread. We're asking everybody, you can get out your DVD or Blu-ray copy of the game and get it going at like 6 o'clock. We're gonna have to work on more details how we're gonna sync this up, but at 6 o'clock we're all gonna watch it and have an open thread like we were watching it again live, and everybody can chat. That was Wallace's idea. I think if we can make it work, I think that would be actually pretty cool.
You better crank up that time on the blog, Dave, before baby number two comes around.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought we were gonna discuss this on the podcast. Like the where were you?
We can discuss. We can do that. We can do that next week after that. It's 5
Yeah, but next week it won't be 200.
That's true. I have to say I retweeted out my column that I wrote after the Saints won the Super Bowl. What a mediocre piece of shit column that was. But I was hungover. That's my only defense.
Yeah, I don't feel like I wrote anything spectacular after they won the Super Bowl. I think we were all just like in shock. We were like, oh, I had the post written that was depressing when after they lost. I didn't think they were actually going to win.
So we'll do that next week on episode 201. So go to Canal Street Chronicles. Go to Saints Nation. Kevin is on Tinder for the ladies.
And
so I love saying that. I think
it's great.
I think we need to start, for all the single ladies that listen to the podcast, I think you need to email us. Go to find Saints Podcast Saints on Twitter. The email address is there. Email us why you should date the lovely Kevin Held. I think that's a great, great off-season segment that we
Yeah, all three of the single women that listen to this podcast. Yeah.
We're just trying to find Kevin Love. That's all.
Hey, hey, if Aqua Girl from Twitter listens to this, hey,
he's all about
email.
All about
email.
Man, we have 8 more months of this. People, don't you love this podcast? I know you do. I see the numbers you download. You listen every week. So for Kevin, for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, be well.
Driving while pizza.
Nice.